Welcome to the Small Caps Podcast, where we discuss news and information related to ASX-listed companies and financial markets, keeping investors informed. Note that the content in this podcast is not financial or investment advice, and be sure to head over to smallcaps.com.au to get the latest market news. Now, without further delay, here's today's podcast.
Welcome back to Small Caps. My name is Kerry Stevenson, and today I've asked Rob Towner. He's the Managing Director of Triangle Energy. ASX code is TEG. Now, Triangle Energy are in the Perth Basin over in WA, and I've asked Rob to come on and talk because there's a lot of news coming out this week about what they're getting on with. And I think that we, as investors, it's slipped slightly under the radar. Rob, great to see you over there in Perth. You have been a busy man.
Hi, Kerry. Yep, lots going on. It's always gets a bit easier when the oil price is where it is and you come out of the lows. So, yeah, we're busy. It's good.
Well, first up, for those people that may not know, we've spoken before, but just give a brief overview as to who are Triangle Energy, and then I want to talk about today's announcements.
Triangle are an operator of the only offshore oil field in the Perth Basin in Western Australia. We've been operating that now since 2015. Over the last 5 years have improved and added on to our acreage to have just under 10,000 square kilometres of oil and gas properties.
Well, certainly I've been speaking to people earlier this week just about the fact that the oil and gas industry is back in people's sights again with the gas and the oil prices on the rise. Has that helped Triangle Energy in what you're doing? Has it helped with your bottom line?
Yeah, definitely. We've, since obviously the falling price in 2014-15 and then COVID, we our current budget's been based on $65 Brent oil prices. And, you know, for the month of October, we received $83.60. So on our budgeting, it's certainly very helpful.
And that's a decent uplift. Do you think there's more to come? Because the energy sector, look, there's talk of there being a gas and an oil shortage. Rob, you're very well versed in this area. If you're talking to an investor audience, where do you see this going?
You know, I think what I often look at is if it's starting to be said, it's going to be true. And ironically, for the moment and the way communications go, that's true. The lack of investment globally on exploration and development of old fields has been going backwards. And that only means one thing. It's been no different to any other commodity, other than I'd say that this one for oil has probably been the longest, you know, downtime in terms of prices for some time. And the lack of investment's been going for a longer period than we've seen in the last 20 odd years. That will result on supply problems, not to mention the political nature of oil as well.
But you, in that time of there not being enough investment in the sector, you've been getting on with the job in the Perth Basin and you've been producing oil, haven't you? So do you see that this is only going to get bigger because you've got quite a big acreage over there, haven't you?
Yeah, I think, look, Kerry, we started with just the production asset and the job there was to receive revenue and manage revenue to keep the opportunity there for Triangle to acquire additional licenses. And that's what we've done. I've gone from one production license to now having a position in four additional ones. They've also got operatorship, and this was the strategy. It was to consolidate the ownership of leases in the Perth Basin. Everyone has looked at starting, you know, and had very good success on the gas side. Triangle was one of two other groups drilled a well in 2017 for oil. It was a discovery, but that's the only one. And we did it, no one else. There's a real opening for the larger oil companies to also look at Triangle, where we have development wells, we've got exploration wells, and we've got producing wells. Now, if you've got bank accounts being loaded up, if you're a large company in the global oil market, and it happens before, they're all going to say, where can I go and find some more oil and where have I got the infrastructure and who's got the biggest acreage? It's not rocket science, but it's been done before.
Do you think that you've been flying a little bit under the radar with that, that people might not have been able to put the puzzle together because you've done it? Like you could see, I guess, where this was going and you're building something that people are going to want in the future. But do you think the market hasn't fully understood what your strategy is?
There's no question they haven't. And the answer to that is that the market's not been looking at oil and gas. It started literally about 2 months ago. And I think that's the point. But prior to that, very little interest unless, you know, perhaps you were drilling a well. But that's, again, the cyclical nature, and it's changing. And there's no, I mean, just the number of capital raisings, and there's a couple of IPOs in the sector in the last 2 months is very much demonstrating that.
But your position in the Perth Basin means that you've got this large acreage that other people can't touch. Do you think that some of the bigger boys are going to come in and want to do a joint venture with you?
We've got a diverse portfolio from onshore exploration to offshore production. I could do farming agreements with people to come into my onshore stuff, which is cheap drilling. The offshore stuff with the infrastructure is certainly a more global opportunity, where you've got 8,000 square kilometres of exploration acreage producing 800 barrels a day. We could drill some wells, which we're planning to do in 2 years. We'll take the production to 3,000 barrels. I mean, that's the real fact of life. And our equity in these projects, at a minimum, is 78%. And in some of them, we've got 100%. So I've got equity to play with.
Well, and how do you want to play with that equity? I guess that's what I'm trying to simplify it for our investor audience, because what they're looking for, I'm looking at Triangle Energy, and I'm saying to myself, this company has flown under the radar. You've got a share price of just under 2 cents. You've got money dropping to the bottom line of, I think it's about 10 million at the end of this month for some previous production. Do you think that you're under, well, of course you'll tell me that you're undervalued, but why do you think that you're undervalued?
I just don't think we've been able to get to the point yet, which is, you know, again, part of this transition now that we're in to develop these assets at the right time. It's about getting recognition through maybe a farming where we have a partner that, I'm not saying tomorrow or 3 months, in 2 months, but that's where we're going next, is to actually have partners come in that will actually recognise on a commercial basis the value of what we've got. Put a dollar on it. If you're going to farm in for 50% and spend $10 million, there's a commercial valuation point conceptually against a company that's capitalised at $17 million. And you might only be talking about one of the licences.
And you've got a number of licences, and that's just one.
Yeah. Well, that's the model that we're working on, is that we get the commercial valuations will be driven in the short term by transactions whilst we move towards drilling in 2 years' time.
With the announcement out today, we've spoken in the past about the refineries in Australia and how they're shutting down. Talk to me about this announcement out this week about this flexible feed fuel refinery.
Yeah, so look, it all comes down to, you know, I think the fact that the country's refineries, two of them, are closed down is what it is. They were relatively old. And we've taken on the North American model to have a smaller modular refinery based where our oil is, which, again, reduces the requirement to truck oil to where we have been at Kwinana. It's also going to be flex feed, so there's going to be a component of renewable fuel in that, looking at canola oil or tallows, to be mixed with our crude oil. And it's all about controlling our destiny in that we also certainly won't be providing the state with diesel. That's never going to happen for our production, but it will certainly probably line up with another offtake within the Midwest. And it could be a mining company or an agricultural company. We're looking at those discussions now, where we've got the total control. In other words, we make diesel for our customer, not just crude oil.
So at the moment, you're shipping your crude up to Singapore, is that correct?
Yeah, or Southeast Asia, yeah, depending on the refinery that's bought it. Which okay, we don't
and,
handle that.
And this, what this announcement is saying is that you're going to do your own refinery, so you've got control, I guess, of the whole process, if you like.
Yeah, in essence, it's come out of a requirement that there isn't another option. So we've taken it upon ourselves to start the feasibility and go into the front-end design, engineering design, to get to a final investment decision in March next year.
Oh, wow.
In between that time, will we own it? Will we fund it? We are aware of funding options. We might look at it and say, yes, we can. I mean, there's logic that we can. We currently operate our stabilization plant, and there's tanks and there's pipes on that. So this is not really any different. And we've got the space at our site. So
how difficult, Rob, is it? I mean, when you talk about a modular refinery, and for those people out there that are not in the oil and gas business and may not understand fully, is it difficult? Is it expensive? Does it take a long time? And from what I'm hearing, it's going to be an upside because you're going to be saving money. You don't need to truck your oil, et cetera. But tell us what the upside is from an investment point of view.
Yeah, the payback on this project at the moment, you know, again, we're just going into the engineering design, but it's looking like about 7 years. It will be custom built in Houston with our contractors, and then sent down and built for packaging and shipping, so that we're not doing anything too complicated in terms of being containers. And then it will be again built here. This is what's done in North America. The people that are doing this work for us do it for a living. We're not creating something new, and it works.
Why haven't we had that here in Australia before?
I'm not sure. I'm not a federal politician.
We're not going to get into politics, Rob. Not today when you've got these good announcements going on. Final investment decision in March next year, which, by the way, is not that far away. No. How confident are you that this will go ahead?
It'll go ahead. It's going to go ahead. I mean, what the bits that we're looking to work on is what federal and state funding is available. I'm not saying that we have to have that to do it, but it is obviously something that we must consider and must put forward, as the reason simply being is that Triangle Energy is not into providing state infrastructure. That's not what we've done in the past. Certainly willing and will do this initial work. Then, you know, we can find out the real funding models, but there is funding for this stuff in North America as well that we're aware of.
Oh, that would be good. So you might get some funding from over there as well.
Yeah, and the figures, I mean, again, it's a piece of infrastructure that has inputs and outputs, and if the figures stack up like everything else, we're not building a new hydrogen facility. We're not building something that's unknown. We're just getting on with what the energy requirements are for this country now.
And those energy requirements are only increasing. And there's a lot of talk at the moment that we do not have enough. And what you're saying is we will provide it, and this will make it a lot easier. What I'd like to know as well is you've also done another announcement. It's a joint venture announcement with this decommissioning. Talk to me about what that means.
So the Cliffhead oil field, under its current licensing, is got production through to 2025. And under the legislation, when you get to that point, assuming there's no more oil, you do decommission. And so it's part of the requirements to have those costings in your provisions of your accounts. And we've done that as we required. But more recently, given that we are looking to expand the production and extend the life of the field out to 2029, part of that process is that we will look to extending that decommissioning date from 2025 to more like 2029. And as part of the process with the regulators, we've gone and done a new study, which on the previous study has reduced $10 million off the decommissioning cost to do it.
What's the total cost? 10 million off, but what was the total cost?
So originally we had it in there at 28 million. 39.5 million for the 100%. It's now down to 28. So that's considerable. There's also the petroleum rent resources tax credits that will apply to this as well, should it occur. And that brings it back. Well, that brings it down to 17.2 for our share.
Wow.
So, you know, you put that into perspective with the other assets that we've got, and more importantly, we have no intention of decommissioning this facility at 2025, because we've identified within the field that we can get another 2 million barrels of oil to market through a drilling program. And on that basis, the reason why we bought this asset was that infrastructure is there, and it hadn't been drilled since it started. So it's called infill drilling and bringing more oil online.
With that decommissioning and increasing, I guess, the increased potential for more oil coming out of that oil field, where does that drop to the bottom line? Because I'm looking at this thinking, well, do people understand that it's this decommissioning is only part of the process? It's not something that you're pushing this out because there's more oil to be found. How are you going to do this drilling? When are you going to do this drilling? Because it is about the drilling and finding the oil, but you're confident that it's there.
Yeah, we're looking at sort of 24, 25 at the moment. We're doing all of the planning for it at the moment. We are obviously putting and working on applications to the regulators with this in mind. So the drilling is planned for sort of 24, 25 at the moment.
Drilling plan for 24, 25, but one of the things we haven't spoken about in this conversation is the fact that you have a percentage interest in the East Coast, what is it, State Gas. What was the strategy behind having that, Rob, and what does that bring to the bottom line for Triangle Energy? And also, you know, from an investor's point of view, why is it important?
So when we moved into the Perth Basin, we actually had still had an interest in the Reeds Dome gas field in Queensland. Mm-hmm. And part of our strategy being what we've demonstrated now was to expand our footprint in the Perth Basin and not have a nationwide, if not international, portfolio of oil or gas assets. And that resulted in the decision to float Reeds Dome into State Gas. And we held, the initiative is about 33%, we're now at 22%. As an equity position, I'm on the board as a non-executive director. It runs itself out of Brisbane, has a small management team there, and State Gas has just started another drilling program and wells completion program, which is currently going now. It's just raised $8 million. So that's another reflection of a value driver that Triangle has outside the Perth Basin. Current holding there is worth $15 million and our market capitalization $17 million. So I don't know, at some point we might be flying above the radar, not under it. So, we'll get there.
I like those, let's just put those numbers to my audience out there. The State Gas, 22% interest in State Gas with a value of $15 million. Their current market cap is $17 million. They've saved quite a considerable amount of money on the decommissioning, which has to be done, but they're going to push that out to 2029. And as well as that, you're talking about control of the whole process so that when there's no refineries in Australia, what Rob's saying is they're going to have these small modular refineries, which will enable you to, I guess, save money off the bottom line. And you're very well versed in this sector. There is strength in the oil price. What's your view on the long-term supply demand for oil?
I don't see that there's any reason that, 65 to 85 on your downside sort of range. I don't see why it would go under 65. At the moment, there's futures contracts going out to December trading at $100 equivalent. So, okay. That's where we're seeing. I think that's the range, And if we get surprised and it's a hell of a lot more than that, well, that's a bonus again.
Rob, I always ask this of my interviewees, if you like. Got a great investor audience out there. They love to hear these stories and they love the ones that have flown under the radar. Give me three reasons why you think our investor audience needs to sit up and take notice of ASX code TEG.
I think the first one's definitely the leverage to the oil price. We budgeted on $65 a barrel. We're getting $83 last month. That's real leverage and cash coming in the door. It pays the bills and it keeps a bit more to do something else. We've got our exposure to, again, the gas market on the east coast of Australia. It's in the paper every day. Yeah. There is a problem. We've got that exposure through an equity position. We don't have to, look at that any differently. It's valued every day. The market's open. Is it liquid? Can we sell it? We're not sellers of it at the moment. Why would we? This is just the start of this cycle. And thirdly, with the market cap at $17 million, we raised $10 million in August, September, and got a check coming this month for $10.6 million for the stock or inventory of oil that we've built up over the last 4 months, and we're still delivering it today and tomorrow, and it will still continue to do so.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, it's flown under the radar. We love bringing you these stories to our small caps community. Triangle Energy, money coming in, leverage to the oil price, also got some exposure to this East Coast gas market, raised money, got $10 million in the bank, another $10 million coming in this month. Ladies and gentlemen, market cap of $17 million. I definitely think it's one to take notice of, but do your own research as always. But Rob Towner, absolutely delightful to talk to you, and lots going on with you guys, and I really want to have you back in the new year to see how you're progressing with this all this news. Thanks for joining me on Small Caps today.
Thanks, Kerry.